Welcome to today's broadcast of Hope Talks. I'm Grayson Willis. Thanks for tuning in. Today's broadcast will be part two of Doug and Carrie Galica's testimony. If you missed part one, you can visit our website, cotnaz.org, click Watch, Listen, and click Hope Talks, and it was May 26th program. We pray that today's broadcast will be a half hour of hope for your life. May God bless.
I think it's beautiful how God puts people together with different strengths, right?
And
a lot of times we can let it drive us crazy, but we can highlight that and recognize that, how this is together. While Carrie was speaking, I was thinking about her strengths because I know them deeply because we work together and I need her badly. She is the strength to my weaknesses, but she's very detailed. She's very much a planner and likes to have things ahead of time and in control, right? And so she's the girl that the people in the office go to say, hey, we should do a shower for this. Will you, admin it, or my wedding? All these things she's provided to people and a sense of stability in that, right? So I was wondering, my question for you is, God is faithful, right? But how have you learned that he is faithful, being constantly thrown in situations where you aren't in control?
Yeah, I mean, I think it goes back to that. Like, you try to control every single situation, and sometimes he's like, you kind of just got to go with it. And that was, when we were going through IVF and nothing was seeming to work. It was having those days of being worn out, but then also having those days like, I know something's going to work out, it's going to. And, going through the pregnancy and having all of that thrown at you and not having any control was hard. But in the end, having the faith that it was going to work out.
So you felt that presence throughout?
Yeah.
Odd sense of peace in the storm.
Yeah. And it's kind of tough because there's so many perspectives that you have to have faith in that it works out, but then we also think back of when you're going through something like that, of people saying, well, so-and-so, this worked, it worked, or this. To try to even imagine the people that get to that point and it never works, where, that feeling of what they must be going through, but they have their own story, and why God's throwing that at them versus allowing us to have a successful one when there's many that don't get that. And even though they've had faith, it's tough. But having faith, and luckily we're at the point to where we can say that we've had success, but I don't want to be the person also that tells somebody to have faith in that it's going to work, because sometimes it doesn't work. So it's hard to have that balance of people going through the situation that it's not 100%. We got lucky, extremely fortunate, and we've had a lot of prayers and all that. And sometimes they're not answered, but we got to look at, then you got to do the soul searching of why those weren't answered. But we're fortunate enough that ours were, so...
Yeah, there's no two situations alike.
No.
God, he has a plan that we can't see, that's overarching.
Mm-hmm.
And it is hard because not everyone has the same results. But we have to know that God loves every person that's going through that. And, mm-hmm. We live in a world that this isn't the way it was supposed to be for us, right? We were supposed to be in relationship with God and in a beautiful garden like Adam and Eve, right? And sin came in and did some things that caused us to really have to engage life and the world like it wasn't really meant to be from the beginning. But God is still sovereign, and it's amazing how when you're going through those things, you wonder, where is God? But man, did your faith grow? Did you, and we're talking about your story now, did your faith grow in thinking this isn't going to happen? These people are praying and tried to keep a positive attitude. Yeah. I know it's hard when it's yours is the body that mm-hmm. all this is happening in, right? And there's so many emotions caught up in all of that. But you are on this side mm-hmm. of that journey, and you can see where God is faithful,
yeah.
you know, and you can give him glory for that in your story.
Yeah, absolutely. I think every point in my life that I've been at the absolute low or hardest point, regardless of my positive attitude, because positive attitude doesn't get you through it. I mean, it helps get you through it, but it doesn't cause anything to happen. You still have to do the work. You still have to put in the effort. You still have to have the prayers. You still have to do everything. So just by being positive doesn't get you there.
That's right.
It's the work and everything that goes with it and the prayers. And every time I've been at that point, I always come out on the other side. And everything just seems to click one day, regardless of how long it might take, but eventually it gets there, regardless of whether it was being 13 and being injured and eventually just looking back and being like, hey, this is where I was supposed to be, this is what I was meant to do, or going through IVF and being blessed to be able to try it multiple times. Not everybody has that. And it's the sad world we live in with healthcare and all that, which would be another 3-hour podcast.
Yeah.
But it's very refreshing to be on this side and just to know that all the prayers that we've had were answered. And the same thing goes back to when she was in the hospital. Like, she had complications that we almost lost her. She was literally probably seconds or minutes from dying on the table after a C-section. And back to the tight-knit community, her mom, Denise, that was like her first thing was, we're calling, we're getting the church prayer list and church. Like, that was almost instantaneous. Like, as soon as she knew something was wrong, it was prayer list, churches, and I'd say within less than an hour, you had hundreds mm-hmm. of people, and she pulled through. So it's things like that that you have to have faith that those help, that help get us through, as well as the doctors and the people that God was helping.
He placed you in a community for a reason. And, you know, sometimes we feel like there's times where we don't want to put out there what we're struggling with.
Mm-hmm.
But when we can do that, it changes things.
Yeah.
Like it helps us to come out of that isolation of our own fear and anxiety, but it also draws a community around us that strengthens us and holds up our arms in times of struggle and darkness.
How has God been moving in your life today, and what does your faith look like today after the crucible of, you know, your stories coming together, you know, the injury, how you guys came together, the wedding, the provision for the IVF cycle that worked after 4 years, and then in Truett's youth, you know, what does your faith look like today?
Very strong. Regardless of disability or anything I can't do, I just look at all the things I can do and have been blessed to be able to do, from being in a wheelchair, that hasn't stopped me, that God's kind of just pushed me along, and I've been able to travel the world with my wife and enjoy it, and now we're blessed with Truett to be able to share it with him and get him in the outdoors and ready to just be able to hopefully show him and teach him. And he's already tough. He's tougher than both of us combined already with everything he's been through. And he's definitely got that from both of us. And just God is, I mean, I've been blessed from daily. It's just, it's hard to look back and know your feelings from each time of how hard it was to get here, but just refreshing to be at where we're at and be able to be at peace with having to have made all the decisions we've made in the past. And it's just kind of like we've been led to here, and it's kind of where you're meant to be.
You know, it hits me that in the Bible, these guys brought their paralyzed friend to Jesus. And I feel like God is writing a new story through you guys, and it's where your paralyzed friend brings you to Jesus. And so that was kind of why I thought it would be powerful to tell your story together.
Yeah. So one of the questions that we ask a lot of times early on, and we didn't today, we got right into your story. So when did faith become a part of your all's lives? Was that something that you grew up with? Like, tell us a little bit about that, because it's always interesting to me to hear that foundation of faith. Where did that start? And because if we didn't have that and the hard times come, what do we do? You know, God's faithful, and, you know, people that have never stepped in a church, and he walks with them from that point. But talk to us a little bit about that, your faith journey, both of you. What did that look like as a child? Was that a part of your story early on?
For mine, definitely. It was as long as I could remember. From the time I can remember, I was church every Sunday, Sunday school, and all the things from clear up through high school. That it was definitely instilled in me at an early age, and very strong Christian beliefs and stuff from my grandparents and both sides, mom and dad's side, and my mom and dad, that it was just one of those things that you grew. I mean, it seemed normal. Mm-hmm. Like, it seemed, I didn't know any different.
Yeah.
I couldn't imagine it being any different. So it was just the moral, like everything that goes with being a Christian and being, and goes back to community. Everything goes back to community, but helping others and being there for people, regardless if you know them or not. So from living in the country, it just seemed like regardless, you wave at everybody, you talk to everybody, you help anybody, it doesn't matter, race, religion, like anything, you just love your neighbor and help out. And
that's right.
It was just how I grew up. Yeah. It was very strong beliefs in just helping others and doing good and donating and fundraising. Like, if somebody's in need, you're going to help them.
Yeah.
And it was just all goes back to being in that small community, I think, too, that helps that.
How about you?
So I have, like, vivid childhood memories of, like, Vacation Bible School and Father Abraham and all of the songs and the things that I can remember and still recite as an adult. And I can't wait to, you know, instill all of that into Drew and have him enjoy those things. And, like, you know, growing up, I mean, we were the same way. I mean, it was just kind of a part of what you did. And, you know, growing up in a small church family, it was, you know, it was just a part of who my family was. And even when I delivered Truett, and that was like what my mom first did was, you know, call the church family and call those people, because
you just know they're going to be there for you.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
That sense of faith and religion and belief that you turn to those that are going to help you or pray for you. So,
at what point do you think you really made that faith your own in your life? Can you think of a point where you were like, this isn't just my religion by inheritance, this is, I own it now? Was there a turning point for you where you're like, okay, this is my faith?
Yeah, I mean, I probably would say, like, you know, going into adulthood and starting all of those adult things, like, you know, buying a house and all of those things. And it's, you know, you making that conscious decision that this is the way that I want to walk and this is the path that I want to take, and making those decisions, for yourself?
I think for me, it's probably been from day one. We'll always go back to my accident, but like I was seconds from dying. Like it was just one of those things, like you kind of have a sense of you were meant to be here for something. I still haven't figured that out yet. So I just try everything until something fits. But yeah, just having the faith and the belief and strong belief that everything's going to be good. I think that helps with the positive attitude that I just live with regardless. I can't control it, so just live life and enjoy it. And I think that all ties back to faith in a way. To me, like, just, yeah, faith that everything's going to be okay. There's a higher power that's looking out for you, that no matter what I've been through, that it's turned out okay. So I think early on, regardless if it was being in a family that was really strong, going to church and being Christians, that regardless of that, I think just that injury alone, even if I wasn't in that atmosphere growing up, I think you would quickly come to realize that there's something more powerful than what we are looking out for us. So,
yeah, I'm thinking about some of the things that you have went through are things that most people will never go through. You know, that's the thing that is kind of blows my mind. Like, you know, that accident at 13 and you persevering through that, and just some of the struggles that you all have had with conceiving. And those are things that some people never, ever experience. And
yeah, it is mind blowing. Like, to think of it as you're saying it is wild, because it just is everyday life to me. That it is mind-blowing that, and I experience it often, that people have no clue sometimes of what hardships are, but it's definitely made me who I am. So yeah. I kind of feel worse for them that they haven't been able to go through something that makes you more appreciative of life and what where you're at. Instead of having everything easy. Neither of us, I don't think, have had anything easy. It always seems like a hardship, but we always come out. And I guess that just gives us a greater appreciation of where we're at.
Your faith is deeper because of that. Like, you have watched God come through. Mm. And that doesn't mean that every day is easy, but you know, there's a scripture in Psalm 139 that says that God goes before us every step of the way, and that he, one translation says, that he protects us from the harm of the past, you know, and that he imparts blessing on us. And I just see that in you all. You know, you all live that. You live that. And so it is a real honor to sit at the table and hear your story and how your faith has only been made stronger by the challenges. And it doesn't mean that you never had questions. It doesn't mean that you've never struggled, but at some point you have to make a decision. Do I trust God with this? Can I trust him with this? And it's pretty obvious that he has come through in beautiful ways for you all as you've trusted him.
Yes, absolutely.
You have a common thread of it's going to be okay. And I keep thinking, you know, that doesn't mean that it's going to be okay by the world's standards. And you're okay with that, you know, in your life and what you've gone through. And you still see purpose and God's faithfulness in it. And that's, I think that's the beautiful thing that draws me to your story. I think it will draw others as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So let's hear about your wedding. Like, I know that's a whole story in itself. So,
yeah. So we were,
I think back at that time and I'm like, it really wasn't a big deal. Like,
at the time
it was, but like thinking about everything else, I'm like, it wasn't that big of a deal.
Yeah, because we were trying to get started. We knew we wanted to get started as soon as possible with the IVF, so we wanted to be married and have all that established as well. And then COVID hit as we were trying to plan it, so everything got postponed, but we still wanted to continue, so we decided to elope.
We were supposed to get married in Maine in 2020, and the pandemic started in March, and we were like, oh, well, you know, maybe it'll be over by October, you know.
2 weeks.
2 weeks. We were like, you know, still back in those times, and then it kept getting, you know, closer to October, and we're like, oh, it's still around. And
trying to get 50 people to travel.
Yeah. And so it was probably August, and we decided, you know, like, we can't ask people to go to Maine. I mean, that's what we wanted. And so we just decided that, you know, we're just gonna do this by ourselves. And because we didn't know how long, you know, our fertility journey was gonna take. And so we decided to elope, and we eloped on Skyline Drive, just the two of us. And it was beautiful, and it was everything I wanted. And I was really stressed, and it just kind of somehow, it just worked out. And so then we decided to do it a year later in Maine and just kind of do what we, the original ceremony
just
and everything.
Just to go through the ceremony and
because that, we weren't
have
ready
the
to,
family and friends there.
That, yeah, we didn't want to give up that vision. But honestly, like, it worked out more beautiful than I could have imagined it to be.
Yeah,
and
got,
at the time,
we
it
got
really
two beautiful weddings because the pictures from both are awesome. We lucked out on Skyline Drive with a beautiful day and just picture perfect for the two of us. And the same way in Maine, that it was kind of another thing that we kind of make spur of the moment decisions. Even though she's a planner, I think I kind of encouraged the spontaneity and let's just go with it, yeah, kind of thing. And we just happened to book, well, we went to New Mexico for 3 or 4 days, then we flew up to Boston and drove up the coast, and it was just one of those things that as soon as we saw the place, it was like, this is where we want to get married, and booked it. And then we were still able to do it up there the following year and have another picture-perfect wedding right on the water at Bar Harbor. And just another thing that fell in part that turned out that...
I mean, it was stressful in the moment, but it is when I look back, I'm like...
With everything else that we've been through, I guess that was... It was not... difficult looking back, but at the time it was just the planning and stuff that goes into a destination wedding. That was the pain of trying to organize everything, and then people not, like, some people not wanting to change your dates or, and then try to and she handled all that, so I can't really talk much, but I can just say what I think she did. Yeah. But I know it was a lot of work. I just showed up, did the easy part. But, and I guess maybe it was just the, of all the trials and stuff that we've went through, that we were just able to be blessed to do it twice and have two enjoyable moments instead of one. But, and then we can celebrate the whole month of October as an anniversary. So, because it was planned for the 17th initially, we eloped on the 1st, and then we did it in Bar Harbor on the 19th. I remember dates.
And Carrie would correct you if that was not right.
That's why I was looking over that way. I know.
She's good like that. So is there anything else that you all would like to share with us today that you're, oh, I would love to share this piece?
Not that I can think of, or we'd be here another hour, so.
Yeah, that's true.
We can maybe do this another time.
Yeah, we'd love it. You know, you were talking, this is just kind of a sidebar, but you were talking about you have a special wheelchair for basketball.
Yep.
And so you don't pinch your fingers, and it just helped me realize why that the wheels are slanted.
On the basketball chairs?
Oh, yeah.
Well, for stability and turning, but it helps with, that's an added bonus of not being able to smash your fingers as much.
Well, I've always wondered why they were that way, and I had this aha sitting here. Oh, that is why. So anyway, just a sidebar. You know, I have a friend who is quadriplegic, and I think I would love for you to meet him. Mm. And hearing that your uncle has went that journey, just like I think about my friend and some of the things he's went through and finding himself in that place where he didn't, he lost all of his mobility with his hands, and now he's in a rehab center and he's getting that back and he's working really hard. What would you say today to people that are listening that are just up against something they don't know, it blindsided them? They're questioning their faith. They don't know if they can go on. What would that 13-year-old boy say? What would that father that's really struggling, you know, young married couple that's really struggling because you're not sure if you can have a child? Like, in those dark places, what would you say to encourage someone today? It could be either one of you or both of you.
I mean, one of the, I guess, corny ways of I would always say it would be, it's not easy, but it's worth it. And everything that I've done is, none of it's been easy, but it's been worth it in the end. And just have to have faith. And I even have, like, I guess I've said it so much that I even had a friend buy me a little thing that says, you got this, because that's me. Like, I got this. That's all I, like, regardless of what it is, I just say I got this. And it's by having faith and community and help and all the things, but go for it. Try it. It's not easy, but it's definitely worth it.
Someone once said that God's greatest blessings are on the other side of our fear.
Yeah.
So there are going to be challenges, but he promised to never leave us or forsake us and to be with us through those challenges. Do you have any thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, I agree. I mean, it's definitely, it's hard. But having the faith and, you know, it might not work out the way that you envisioned it to work out, but in the end, it's going to work out the way it's supposed to work out.
And coming from a detail girl,
yeah,
that carries weight. Yeah. That carries weight. Yeah. And so this has been great. It's been great to have you all today. I believe that this has been a two-part series of hope for those that are listening. So thank you for being here. And we pray that this has been a half hour of hope for everyone listening. May God bless.
Hope Talks is sponsored by Church of the Nazarene in Harrisonburg in partnership with Sunshine Ministries.